Well, I think that we need to understand that there are different kinds of illegal mining taking place. One kind is ghost mining, where at a legal operation, a second team of employees go down and they're not actually working for the mine, they're working for someone else. So in the Barberton case over the weekend, we had allegations of there being more than 1,000 people underground at a mine that is operational and functional. So in other words, there was a ghost operation happening simultaneously with a legal operation. I think that that's highly problematic. And that needs to be investigated, because one wonders how 1,000 people get underground at a formal mine. You know, it means that the entry points to that mine is not secure. It's possible that there is corruption involving mine employees, perhaps even some people on management, and they're basically stealing from the shareholders in that particular mine. Yet there are the 6,000 abandoned mines in the country. Now, when people go down an abandoned mine, they're not really stealing from anyone, because the mine doesn't belong to anyone, it's abandoned.
Yes.
And I think in that instance, you might begin to look at the possibility of organizing people into business units, such as cooperatives, registering them, doing an audit of all the abandoned mines that are there, see which ones are actually safe and which ones are not, and then allow registered operators to go there and get a central buying agency that buys all their gold, so that you cut out the syndicates and so on that at the moment is causing all the problems. You know, the syndicates are the ones who bring the guns into the story. They are the ones who do the human trafficking. They are the ones who are doing the illegal trade in mining. If you create a central buying agency, you will actually know how much gold is being produced in the country, and you'll be able to tax it as well, and you will know where it's going.
Yeah. Is there any political willingness to do this? Because this, to me, for a very long time, has been a solution. It's not a solution to everything we know, but at least it could certainly have more
alleviate the problem.
Yes, exactly, 100%.
Well, yes, I think that the issue of the political will has to do, it's like with drugs in the country as well. There are powerful people involved. Some of them are even politicians. Some of them are even in the police and so on. They have no interest in actually legalizing this thing, because these guys who are underground are super exploitable. You can pay them much less than the official gold price. You can really trample on them because they are constantly under threat from the police. When in fact, in many cases where we operate and we speak to these people and so on, they tell us that the police are part of the problem. They are part of the syndicates that operate. But they also tell us that there are senior politicians that are involved as well, and we can't name them for fear of our own safety. But we do know who some of them are, in fact. So that is the secondary problem. The political will is undermined by corruption.
Yes. Oh, boy. I mean, that's the age-old question, isn't it? And of course, I mean, the workers just being exploited, because I think what concerns me right now, the price of gold has gone through the roof. The world needs gold, which will just increase the exploitation, won't it?
Well, as the BRICS countries de-dollarize, they're all moving back to gold. That's Russia, China, India. And those are big economies. They are major economies outside of the United States economy. If you put them all together, they are actually bigger than the United States economy. And so the price of gold will steadily increase. As conflict escalates in the world as well over resources and so on, the price of gold will also be going up and up and up, because it's considered to be a safe haven commodity. So those are the issues. Now, the higher the price of gold, the bigger the scope for corruption, unfortunately. You know, whereas as a country we could actually benefit from that higher price of gold, at the moment we're not benefiting from the higher price of gold because we're not regulating mining properly. And so the mining industry is in fact in chaos.
Yes, I've had a lot of reports on that on the show, people almost tearing their hair out. Who do we blame for the chaotic situation on the mining landscape? Is it government again, or who is it?
Well, it's a combination of factors. One factor is that we allow companies to abandon mines. A mine should not be abandoned. Mines have got incredible useful infrastructure. They've got sport and recreation facilities, training facilities, roads, railway networks. They've got electricity substations and things like that, which we allow simply to be plundered. Every mine could actually be turned into an electricity-generating agency, because you can do geothermal energy in ultra-deep-level mines, you can do gravitational energy, and In fact, on the mine wasteland, which cannot be used for agriculture anymore, such as the tailings zone, you could put solar farms. And there's already an electricity substation feeding electricity back into the national grid. That was where the mine received its electricity from. It's a very easy solution to adjust transport unity around the mine employed.
Yes. I've also, over the weekend, I think it was the Daily Maverick, that had a story about some of the old mine dumps being reprocessed and then vegetation coming back slowly, but wildlife even beginning to thrive in those areas. So, I mean, it does kind of tell us, despite the poisoned landscape, as it were, as you've said, there's a lot of good things we can do to feed back into society.
Well, yes, yeah. you can do phytoremediation. You can put plants in there that actually extract the heavy metals, including the gold, the uranium, and all the other things. And then you can process the plants to extract the minerals from the plants. But the plants will mitigate the dust factor, and the plants will rehabilitate the soil. You know, you can do agricultural mining. There are so many things that can be done if we think outside of the box. But so long as we only think about how to corruptly enrich ourselves, we're not going to do these things that need to be done.
I just wish you would be able to name some of the politicians. Because obviously in the media we hear the same rumors, and it gets quite frustrating when you see somebody portraying themselves as the paragon of moral virtue in Parliament and other platforms, knowing full well that they are absolutely rotten to the core. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that I think that if you're in Parliament, you're empowered enough. You don't need to be empowered more than you are, so you should stay out of the economy. You know, so there should be restrictions. You shouldn't be in a senior position in government and be a mine boss at the same time. When do you get time to serve the people when you are serving your own pocket?
No, that's a very true point. And it does seem as if in that area, political accountability is a joke, because, you know, parliamentarians have to give a list of all their properties. And then as an afterthought, Paul Mashatile, he of... Okay, I'm not going to say anything more, suddenly is able to put down a 28 million rand house, I watch, around which is a massive controversy, as an afterthought. I mean, it's not he didn't put it down previously.
Well, his wife receives a diamond ring from one of the biggest diamond smugglers and illegal mining operators in the country.
Yeah, Mr. Liebenberg. I mean, that's just, it's nuts. I mean, we can't make this up, because the politicians are making it up for us. It really is.
Yes, it's absolutely. What scares me is that the police are not putting two and two together, because Liebenberg operated out of Welkom, which is a gold mining town. It's one of the biggest diamond smugglers in the country. Everybody knows this. But he's not being charged with any of that. He's being charged with running a pyramid scheme, of which the members of that scheme got ripped off and they took him to court, and that's how he got arrested. No one is investigating his involvement in illegal mining.
And he's still probably coining it from that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, so, well, you had Saral Sello, the big kingpin from Lesotho, and he was responsible for the massacre of people in Netherlands at Ishabin. And immediately after that massacre, the former minister of police met him at Owar Tambo Airport and let him go. I mean, and everybody, the police mentioned that he's one of the key suspects 2 weeks earlier from when the minister of police met him. And off he flew to the city. So again, as a public, we can put two and two together when we talk about diamond rings and we talk about kingpins being let go and so on. I mean, the last Lesotho election, political parties were funded by illegal mining operations from South Africa. And in the last local government elections in Machabeng, in Welkom, and those areas, the community there will tell you openly that, you know, political parties here were funded by illegal mining operations. You know, so we are coming up for a big local government election next year, and I can bet you that in Klerksdorp, Stilfontein, all these mining areas and former mining areas and so on, politicians will be on the take to finance their campaigns and so on.
100%. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. We are doing our best. What else can we do? David van Wyk, lead research at the Benchmarks Foundation, thank you for joining us. Do enjoy the rest of the week.
Thank you so much for the interview. I appreciate it. Let's hope we can clean this mess up.